Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists from around the world. My name is Ramesh Vitalingam, and today's interview is with Guido Tabellini. Guido is Professor of Economics at Bocconi University in Milan, and in 2007 he was President of the European Economic Association. We met at the Association's annual Congress in Budapest, just before he delivered his presidential address, which was titled Culture and Institutions. And I began by suggesting that until relatively recently, these two words, culture in particular, are ones that we're not used to hearing from economists.
That's right. I think the word institutions is probably something on which many economists are devoting time and energy, and not only very recently, to try and understand why we observe so varied differences in institutional outcomes. And I think there is consensus now that to understand economic development, we really need to understand the functioning of institutions. There is a very convincing literature in economic history, but also in macroeconomics, political economy, and economic development that argues that one of the main determinants of economic development has to do with the functioning both of private and public institutions, how the firm behaves, so we need to understand the organization of production, and the functioning of governments. And so institutions, both political institutions and lower level institutions within government, are key to understand economic development. I think that's where the consensus ends, because one line of research tries to pursue an economic type of explanation, thinking about the incentives that individuals have to behave in specific ways inside those institutions, and also to shape the evolution of institutions. And I think this, to an economist, is a very attractive way of looking at things. And I imagine that there would be a lot of progress in future years in pursuing this line of attack. But at the same time, I think particularly economic historians, but also other social scientists, have remarked how probably you have to move beyond economic incentives, at least in the standard interpretation of economists, to really understand other features of institutional outcomes. And I think one reason why that is likely to be important is that in political situations and in behavior inside government organizations, incentives are probably weaker than in most economic situations. So if they are weaker, one needs to think about other motives of behavior. And pinning down these cultural forces that might influence behavior when incentives are weak is very difficult. And I think it would be wrong to imagine that there is a consensus on this. One idea that some economists are pursuing, George Akerlof in particular in Berkeley, but others as well, is that values and conceptions about how we ought to behave in specific circumstances may be important to understand our behavior as voters and what we expect from politicians, what standards of conduct we enforce, and how bureaucrats and lower level officials are likely to behave. And so there is a line of research, both empirical research and theoretical research, that tries to bring these values to bear to understand the functioning typically of collective institutions and political institutions.
Now, you're looking at things over very long periods of time, the impact of culture over hundreds of years on institutions and the impacts of institutions over hundreds of years on economic development. What kind of data can you look at to try and assess these interactions?
Right. So, as you said, the one motivation is precisely because the function of the institution is correlated with events in the distant past. So some ideas were initiated by sociologists and political scientists. So, for instance, Putnam, a U.S. political scientist, showed how differences in the behavior of local governments in Italy could be traced back, he argued, to medieval historical events and whether or not the city was organized as an independent city. So just here at the Congress today, we heard a very interesting talk by Luigi Guiso, who was asking whether in the distant past cities in different parts of Italy were independent or not from superior forms of political control, or whether they had a bishop in charge of the city or not. And he used these historical data to show that they are correlated with things like the number of organizations like charity organizations that we observe in the city today, or blood donations that we observe in the city today. So there is data looking at the independence of the local governments many centuries ago, showing that it is correlated with forms of civic organizations. In my own research, I have exploited also variation in local governments, but more at the regional level, showing that, again, whether the regional governments in the 1600, 1700, 1800 had representatives, forms of governments, had checks and balances, had independence from more distant powers, is correlated with the cultural traits that you observe today, like the trust that you entertain, or values that you appreciate in your children, for instance. So there is unambiguous evidence at the local level explaining this link. There is also evidence linking the at the microeconomic level, the behavior, the opinions and attitudes of individuals to their origin as migrants. So this is exploited the behavior of and the opinions of U.S. second-generation citizens whose third-generation ancestors come from different parts of the world. And they showed that individual decisions in the market, like labor supply, or family decisions, like fertility decisions, or trust, are correlated with the economic or political features of the country of origin of the ancestors when you control for current observable features of the individual. So in the case of trust attitudes, for instance, these trust attitudes are explained by the, say, of the Italians who moved to the U.S. and are now second-generation U.S. citizens. You can explain their trust attitudes based on the current average trust that we observe in Italy. You can also explain it based on the political institutions that we had in Italy 150 years ago. Even when you control for per capita income and literacy rate in Italy 150 years ago. So the behavior of migrants is correlated with current cultural traits in Italy, and also with distant political forces in Italy controlling for other observable features. So both of these local government aggregate data and data about the attitudes of migrants suggest that indeed culture is a very slow-moving force, which is a natural reason to think that it might explain the link between distant history and the functioning of government that we observe at the aggregate level across countries today.
So what kind of policy implications can we draw from this? It sounds as if it's very hard to do anything if the roots of development lie so deeply in the past and they're so embedded in cultural phenomena.
That's a very important and also very difficult question, and I'm not sure that we have reached a level of understanding that can provide a reliable answer. But nevertheless, I think there are two lessons that are suggested if this line of research is really true. One is that we shouldn't expect immediate changes, and we have to be patient, because the improvements that we are talking about can only occur slowly in the long run. The second, perhaps more optimistic observation, is that, and this is also suggested directly by some of this research, an important cultural trait that is responsible for the functioning of institutions is the extent to which citizens are really willing to hold politicians accountable and demand good codes of behavior, demand provision of public goods that benefit everybody. The more successful regions and local governments are those where citizens are very demanding. So political accountability is an important part of the determinants of policy outcomes, and that's something that citizens learn to implement, and maybe has to be taught and preached how to make sure that public officials, governments, representatives are held accountable to high standards of behavior. Perhaps that's the most general and important policy lesson that I would draw from this literature.
Guido Tavolini, many thanks.
Thank you.